Yes. Could you make that statement? How many of us would be willing to trade our life for liberty? A lot of us would be like the old cowboy that came into the church and everybody was testifying on a Sunday night. Oh, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. The old cowboy, mean old fellow from back in the canyon, stood up with his 2 6-shooters and said, first one that wants to go, stand up. When it comes to making the commitment, it's a whole different story, isn't it? How many appreciate liberty? How do we really know whether we appreciate it or not? Liberty cannot be fully understood until one understands what bondage is. How can you know what it's like to be free if you've never been bound? One has to experience bondage first to fully appreciate liberty. Webster's Dictionary simply says that liberty is freedom, the quality or state of being free, the power to do as one pleases. Now that sounds like a teenager to me. Freedom from arbitrary or despotic control. The citizens of the United States of America today cannot fully comprehend what the colonists were experiencing because we were not there and we have not experienced their conditions. How many got your tax bill for your property this past week? Well, then what am I supposed to do? Mine was higher.
That's why I heard it was lower.
Yeah, mine's higher to make yours lower. Hey, let's work out a deal here. Did anybody say, oh boy, I got my tax bill? You dreaded opening it, didn't you? This government. Did you ever go in, buy permits and inspections and see all of those cars we pay for in there? Did you ever walk in the door and see all of those people sitting back in there? Surely they don't need every one of those people. They're paying a salary that, and that's coming out of my, huh? Isn't that kind of, when are IRS taxes due? April 15th? You ever get your tax bill from the IRS and say, whoopee! No. The colonists were being taxed without representation. And they didn't like it. We don't like it. And we have representation. At least we think we do. I wrote Obama, I wrote Cardin, I wrote Mikulski, and I wrote Roscoe. This past week, and said, I want you to vote for H.R. 822. I want you to represent me. That's what I want. And I expect you to do it. I'll get some letters back from Mikulski. You know, that mumbo jumbo as to why she's not going to represent me in my vote. But at least I can write them a letter and I know I've got somebody down there. One of these days I'm going to knock on their door. Some of them, when they die, I'm going to go to their funeral just to make sure they're gone. Because I don't think I have representation. So we can't experience what the colonists experience. We think we have a little taste of it. But we were not there. And we have not experienced their conditions. Therefore, we cannot fully appreciate their desire for freedom because we did not experience their bondage. Now, the Free Dictionary defines bondage as the state of one who is bound as a slave or serf. A state of subjection to a force, power, or influence. Now I know some of you said, when you said I do, that was it. You've been a servant ever since. I'm not going to tell whose expressions I've seen. There have been times in my life when I jokingly turned to Linda and said, "Yes, great white master." And she has reminded me, she is not Sarah and I am not Abraham. We don't really understand what it is to be a slave, to be under bondage, unless we experience the tyranny of a government like the colonists did. Then we cannot fully appreciate the deliverance from the tyranny like they did. The same is true with spiritual liberty. Unless one experiences the bondage of sin and the tyranny of Satan, then we cannot fully appreciate the freedom from that bondage. How many know what it is to be bound by sin? Half of us? I know some of you are goody-goody two-shoes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, says the Bible. No, not one. When we look at the depravity of the human race, we can see the bondage of sin. Just open your paper and you see how many have been arrested for DWIs, DUIs. How many have been arrested because of drug addiction? How many have been arrested because of prostitution or murder or thievery and robbery? And we look at that and we see these people who live in our community. And if we are keenly aware of what slavery is, then we can see it in the people around us who are bound by the tyranny of Satan. Spiritual bondage is explained to us by Paul in the book of Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. Here's what he had to say. I have discovered this principle of life. This is the great apostle Paul. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Anybody identify? I love God's law with all of my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Amen. This power makes me a... Paul uses the word slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. That's Paul explaining spiritual bondage. And if all of us are honest, we have probably have to stand and say today, I've been there. And maybe many of us would have to stand and say, I'm still struggling. Have you ever had to go back to the Lord since you made your commitment to Christ and say, God, I'm sorry?
Yes, amen.
Have you ever had to say, Lord, forgive me? I didn't mean to do that. For as soon as you said something, or as soon as you flew off the handle, or as soon as you looked at something you shouldn't have been looking at, hello, we say, oh my, God forgive me. Why did I do that? What in the world's wrong with me? Paul described it very clearly. This is the confession of Paul and his struggle with his carnal desires. He says he is a slave to sin. I've dealt with a number of people who have been addicted down through life. And they make some headway. And then all of a sudden, they call you up or you get the information, I fell off the wagon again. I don't know why I did that. They become subject to sin, guilty of sinning. All of us know what guilt feels like. All of us know what guilt is like because we have been there. And Paul says here, he cannot keep from sinning. No! How many have ever said, no, 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 and then went ahead and partook? Cannot totally cast sin out of his head. Cannot get rid of the sin permanently under sin's influence. Said, I am capable of sinning. How many of you know right now that you're born again, your sins are forgiven, you're on your way to heaven? If Jesus comes now, you're ready to go. And with that knowledge, how many know that you are capable of doing sin again? So you see, that capability of the old man is still there. Paul is saying, cannot free himself from being short of God's glory and cannot erase sin's presence, not completely. This is his struggle. This is the bondage. Paul continually came short of the glory of God and failed to be consistently conformed to the image of Christ. Why is that? How come? Not because he failed to exercise his will. Every time I go to Mountain Gate, I'm saying, not another piece of chicken. No, 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 no. And there it is in my hand. Now, I'm being facetious, but you get the message? We exercise our will. Paul exercised. He was there trying, declaring he would. Why? Not because his mind was not focused on Christ. Oh, he prayed. He knew the law. He was focused on the righteous things of God. And yet, in spite of it, he came short. Not because he did not know God's will. Paul was eloquently acquainted with what the will of God for his life was, as well as you and I. And yet he failed. Not because he did not seek to do God's will. How many really want, I want to please God. I want to do the will of God. I want to be what God wants me to be. And then time after time we find ourselves, in spite of that desire and that will, coming short of the glory of God. He fell short not because he did not call upon every faculty and power of his being. He failed because of the bondage to sin that dwells in him. Paul confesses that he needs a deliverer. Hallelujah. How many know you can't do it by yourself? Have you ever made that New Year's resolution? I'm going to lose 5 pounds. Only to get on the scale and see it went up 10 pounds. I'm going to cut ice cream out of my diet. Until your spouse brings a half gallon home. It's your fault. See? Nobody else's fault. It's not my fault. Belongs to somebody else. We need a deliverer. We need somebody who can stand in the gap for us. Who can give us liberty? Who can set us free from this bondage that we are in? Paul answers the question in verse 25. Thank God! The answer is the Lord Jesus, or is Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. In other words, Paul is saying deliverance does not come through some man-made law. We're going to outlaw drinking. Yeah. We're going to outlaw pot. Yeah. We're going to outlaw... No. No. It doesn't come from man-made law. Deliverance doesn't come from some man-possessed power. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm going to take care of business here. I'm going to bring myself under subjection. I'm going to make J.D. Lay do what I tell him to do. You behave yourself. You hear me? No. It's not because of some man-possessed ability. Amen. We are not going to make any laws to make people stop killing each other in the United States. We are not going to make any laws that will make people stop robbing banks and AT&Ts. We are not going to make any laws that is going to stop the wrongdoing and the sin There'll be no laws made to make individuals stop adulterous affairs and stop prostitution and stop pornography. The only one that can do it, bring deliverance, is a superior quality. Power. That is the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. The deliverance comes through the great deliverer himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What will stop the robber from stealing? When he gets saved and Jesus comes into his heart. What will help us to lay down the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life? What is it that can come into our lives that will give us strength and grace and power to overcome it? None other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen to Paul in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. Somebody say praise the Lord. Where do we get it? Not in ourselves. In Christ. He's the liberator. He's the one who sets us free. To the colonists, the liberators were those who said, "Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes." The liberators were men like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Rodney Caesar, who these men were willing to lay down their lives, give up all that they might find liberty for the future of America. The one who finds liberty for the soul and the spirit of man is Jesus Christ. While we are helpless within our flesh to the bondage of sin, Christ within us delivers us. Hallelujah. How does He do it? Through His justification. He declares us to be justified by His grace. Have I sinned? Oh my, have I sinned? Mama doesn't know. Mama always thought I was a good boy. Mama doesn't know. Neither does others know. But He knows. And when I bowed my knee and I came to Christ and I said, "Forgive me of my sins, wash me and cleanse me, Lord Jesus, I am guilty." He stepped in through His grace and His mercy, and because He gave His life and paid the ransom on Calvary and entered into the Holy of Holies with His own bloody sacrifice, paying the ransom for my life, I was able to hear the words of Jesus saying to Father, "I justify him. I forgive him. He enters in under my grace." And when the Father looked at the record because of the justification of Jesus Christ on my sins and my life, the Father could see absolutely nothing clear. That's how He delivers. That's how He sets us free. And my friend, that is what real liberty is to you and I. Would you stand with me?